Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna.
Hey guys, and welcome to yet another blissful installment of your favorite podcast, In Bed with Nick and Megan, starring the immortal Nick Offerman, featuring me, his lowly wife, and today, guest starring the extra super duper special, magnificent, dare I say, Mr. Conan O'Brien.
Hi guys,
public
how
domain.
Are you?
Hello.
Good, Conan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're gonna get sued. We didn't sing enough of it to have to pay for it. Guys.
Hey.
It's so nice to spend this time with you.
Oh, God.
It really is to be lying here with you.
All time that we've ever spent with you has been
nice. I'm going to explain to the people listening that we're friends in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And
IRL.
We are good chums.
So what's the funnest thing you've done since being quarantined?
I'm going to say the most fun I've had is I made it a mission to screen really funny movies for my children, who are teenagers now. They're 16 and 14. And I wanted them to know and experience the movies that I loved and that made my dad laugh when I was a kid. So I've been putting them through all of the Peter Sellers Clouseau movies.
What a blast.
Great.
Yeah, and we watched The Producers, the original Producers, with Zero Mostel.
Zero.
And they, of course, when watching The Producers, saw Dick Shawn, and they were howling at Dick Shawn, who's, of course, a genius funny in that movie. And then I said, oh, you think he's funny in this movie? Where do you see him in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World? So I showed that to them last night, and they were howling at that movie. And I kept saying, oh, see that guy? That's Phil Silvers. He was like the funniest guy ever. Oh, wait, there's Jonathan Winters. You have to understand, God. He's the funniest guy ever. Oh, wait, there's, and you know, it just, there's Buddy Hackett. There's, I mean, everyone's in that movie. So
that's
I would
so
say,
cool.
Yeah, talk about, you know, a silver lining to what's happening now. This business of saying, yes, there's a lot of anxiety out there, and there's and there's a lot of people, a lot of us are worried about the economy and people we know who work in businesses that have been shut down. So there's a lot, but whenever you can find a moment where you can say, okay, well, at the very least, I want my kids to think back on this and have some positive association, which is they laughed a lot, and their dad kept saying, wait till you see this next part.
That sounds like a wonderful film festival.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you guys do, does Liza, or do you do anything like, I don't have you pegged as the meditation type, but do you do that at all?
I'm going to say neither one of us does. I'm certain Liza doesn't do it. I've tried to meditate, and I know I could try a lot harder, but I can't do it. And I shouldn't say that. That sounds really negative. And I know a lot of people right now are saying, hey, man, you can't say can't. You can, man. But I don't want Tommy Chong up in my business. And I don't know why he's suddenly part of this podcast.
We didn't invite him on the podcast.
Well, I know, but clearly Nick did said, we need some Tommy Chong in here. Hey, man. but I have been unable to do it thus far in my life. And
There's always tomorrow.
Oh.
As they say.
Wow. That's a beautiful
There's
thing you just
always
said.
Always tomorrow.
Well, guess what? No, it's not happening. It's not happening tomorrow. It's. Not. Do you guys meditate? Because I
do.
My brain is a hoppy toad on a skillet, and I try really hard to bring it down, but I can't do it. And I've even gotten the apps. I think I've downloaded like 4 apps by this point that are supposed to make it really easy for me. But I don't even have the patience to download the app, or once I download it, to play it. So I think I might be a lost cause. But you do it, Megan.
I do. I've meditated off and on over the years, but I'm in an on period. And I was in that period before this whole virus commenced.
So you're good at it.
Well, I don't know if anybody's good at it, but I like it.
See, isn't that interesting? I said you're good at it, right? Because I would immediately go to, I want to do this, but I want to be good at it, which, of course, then Tommy Chong would say, hey, man, there's no good at it. There's just you're there, and then you're already there where you were when you started, man. I don't know why you invited Tommy Chong. This is a disaster.
It really is. It's embarrassing. It's the least, I don't think you can be good at it. I think it's a contradiction in terms. Is that the expression?
I think, yeah. But what about, now you say that you could do it, but then you've got old steak and beans next to you, you know, a man of the people.
Tumbleweeds.
Old tumbleweeds.
Old steak and beans Offerman.
Yeah, old steak and beans Offerman, you know, he didn't grow up meditating out there in the steak and bean farm. You weren't doing that.
No, I think my life... I think I have sort of a meditative disposition.
He's already enlightened. He just doesn't. He's so enlightened. He doesn't even know he's enlightened. Yeah, that's the problem.
I'm just always chewing my cud, placid as can be.
You know, I will say that when I just listen to Nick talk, it does put me into sort of a meditative calm, because you do have that, like, oh, we'll be well in the Republic.
Yeah.
I will now go and make a canoe out of mahogany. I intentionally chose a wood you'd never use. Nick, for you, that was a woodworking joke. You know, who would use mahogany?
He really does just sort of, he's got all the simple truths. They're just innate to him, more or less.
Yeah.
He might be like flailing on one or two, but for the most part, he's really got it together. And so he doesn't need to do things like meditate.
That's good. Maybe we're not meant to. Maybe we're all supposed to be in that state already, but we're such a neurotic culture.
Well, wait a minute now. You know what you do, Conan, that's very meditative, is you play music, and you're quite a good musician.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
It's true.
I will say the most meditative thing I do is mess around with a guitar, because it turns off my brain in a way that's soothing. And there's a lot of like muscle memory that takes over when you're doing scales or something on a guitar, or trying to play a certain song. And there is no, especially when no one's around, there's no performance aspect to it. So yeah, I think that's a very calming thing. I also love reading. Like, I think the only way I can go to sleep at night is I need to have a book. I don't just lie down and say, well, time to sleep. I love to read, and reading's the way that I'm letting someone else's brain take over my brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, and you like to read history, right? That's kind
yeah,
of
your... I read dense books. there's a great picture. This is before I knew my wife, years before. I was on vacation with a girlfriend and we were on a beach and she took a picture. You know, she was just taking pictures of our vacation. And then later on, the picture surfaced, you know, when we're just looking around at pictures, and it just, it made all my friends howl because it's me on some really nice beach in the Caribbean sitting in a chair underneath an umbrella. And I'm reading William Shire's The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And it's a massive book. It's like the size of a phone book. And if anyone's ever seen the cover of that book, it's black and it has a giant black swastika on it. And I'm reading about so I'm on this beautiful, like, I can just hear someone's playing like the what are those, that kettle drum? They're playing a kettle drum. Yeah. And there's the smell of rum in the background and crashing surf. And I'm reading about the tank battle of Kursk and how the Russians are just, you know, really kicking the crap out of the Germans and getting really down into the weeds.
You're a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm a lot of fun.
You said something telling when you play music that it was kind of like a Simpsons joke where you said, no, I don't like to meditate, but when I play music, my brain shuts off in a way that I find soothing. Which
yes.
I believe is exactly, correct me if I'm wrong, my lady, but isn't that what meditation is hoping to achieve?
Yes, and that's why I introduced the entire subject of him playing music as it being
meditative. Just made a fool out of me. What are you, Perry Mason now? I thought we were all here, relaxed, laying in bed, and then all of a sudden you come at me and expose my flaws as a human being, my misstatements.
You have no real flaws, Conan. Everybody knows that.
Oh, I'm a many. I steal. I go into stores and take things that and don't pay for them.
Wow. Like what?
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to do. I like to take, when I like to go to a bowling alley and borrow the shoes and then wear them out. And
when you steal bowling shoes, do you leave the shoes you wore in, or do you carry them out as well?
I don't want the bowling alley to profit in any way, so I throw my shoes out.
Ah.
Well, one time I think you told me you actually burned your own shoes in the men's room before you left.
Yes, I did tell you that.
Because they could retrieve them from the trash.
I thought that was between us, Megan, but
I'm
guess...
I'm sorry. Really sorry.
That's the message I want to get out there. occasionally, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but you'll say something joking, clearly joking, and then a long time later, one of the kookier tabloids will have like a little blurb and it will say, Conan O'Brien steals, you know, bowling shoes, you know, the cowardly late night quipster. And I'll tell you an exact... I'll tell you an exact real example of this is Will Ferrell was on my show once a couple of years ago, and he did this great bit where he came out and he had a cockatoo on his shoulder. And the whole thing was he didn't want to talk about the cockatoo. So if I ever started to bring it up, he would say, we're not talking about the cockatoo. That's not open for discussion. And then he would go on and try and have a normal segment while the cockatoo. So that's just an obviously, if you watch that, it's obviously just a funny bit. It's Will Ferrell with a cockatoo on his shoulder. And he keeps getting really mad at me whenever I say, I gotta mention, it's now nibbling at your ear like, Conan, we talked about this. And so flash forward about 3 years, and there's a thing in the tabloids, and it's about how Will Ferrell is secretly an insane person who has gone nutty for birds and always has one on his shoulder. And it's just it's the still from my show.
Oh my
clearly, the person writing it knew they just needed to fill a page. So the article is so great because it's all up. It's all about how he's gone mad and...
Sometimes we've run into tabloid headlines where it seems like those quote-unquote writers, those journalists, must have like three spinning game show wheels and they throw a dart at them and say, okay, Conan O'Brien, dart, fills his lips, dart, with Gatorade.
Yes, yes.
Go, page three.
That one is true.
Yeah, in that case, Megan's right. They just happen to accidentally get it right.
Every once in a while, they get it right.
Every once in a while, a room full of typing monkeys will write Othello.
That's such a gross profession. It's so gross. Like, you know what they're doing right now is they're sending people out, which is illegal, actually, because we're under, you know, California's under lockdown. But they're sending people out to fancy neighborhoods to try to find celebrities who are going out for walks.
But aren't they allowed? You're allowed to go for a walk.
Sure.
Yeah, but they're sending photographers out to paparazzi out to take pictures of celebrities who are just trying to get out of the house for a minute and go for a walk. I think that's pretty gross.
Well, I will tell you, as a matter of fact, like I've gone out once to walk my dog and once to, or twice to ride my bike, and both times there were like guys in cars taking pictures of me, and I mention this only because I'm someone they never want a picture of. Like this is, I'm just telling you, this is a sign. You know when there's no water up in the hills, that's when the coyotes come out and they come down into the streets and start eating cats. That is when I notice, like, if they're taking pictures of me, because I am the most boring, like Conan O'Brien on a bike. And
the I know. Like,
wow, what are you getting for that picture? You know what I mean? I'm not a naked Meghan Markle on a unicycle. This is, I don't even think they would get money for that photo.
Yeah, it's we're the same. Like, they don't care about us because we're boring. But
thankfully, it means we're living right.
Yeah.
It's the secret, I think, too, is just live a life. I think I have the same life as someone who is doing moderately well in insurance. So, like, I do my job, and then I come home, and I hang with my kids, and then it's like, okay, this guy's no fun. To hell with him.
Oh, so you've done your show for 4,000 years.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
We started the show shortly before movable type was invented.
Uh-huh. Are there any people, well, I already know the answer to this, sort of, but how many people have been on your show from the beginning besides you and Andy Richter?
Oh, well, Andy Richter. Well, he left the show for a while, for quite a while, and then came back. But I would say, yes, there's a core group of people that started with me in 1993 that are still with me, which is
That's
really mind-boggling.
Amazing.
So my producer, Jeff Ross, my head booker, Paula Davis, Gina Batista, my stage manager, Steve.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and there's a bunch, actually. Frank Smiley, who I'm sure has produced segments for both of you. And you know what's really sweet is we have a couple of interns who started like second year, who worked their way up, and now they're just stalwart, like Jason Chalemi, Sarah Fedorovich. I mean, people that really are the heart and soul of the show, who were interns in 95, 96, around there. And this has been their whole professional life, which is really amazing. I mean, I'm very lucky that way.
That's so cool.
What's been the best part of doing that show?
I think you guys could relate to this, to have your profession be something that you would want to do anyway, if you weren't getting paid, is a magical thing that I never take for granted. And I think, left to my own devices, I would be trying to think of silly things, and I'd be trying to make my friends laugh, and I would gravitate towards other people who had a similar sense of humor and would be doing silly things, and then would get back to work. So the idea that that is my work is insanely magical, and something that is proof to me that, okay, maybe in a previous life I did something heroic, and so I'm being rewarded. And the reward in this life is, you know, that thing you love to do that you would do for free. That's your job, and that's pretty sweet.
It really is.
Yeah, it's kind of, as you know, there are people in this business who are the complete opposite of who you think they are. They might be really fun and funny on camera, but when you're hanging out with them, they're maybe shy or neurotic or nervous. And I'm not saying anything negative about them. It's just that their performing self is like a different person. And I always, I think something that the three of us have in common is, aside from our insatiable sexual appetites, the thing that we have in common is you guys are who you appear to be. You're really witty and funny and fun to hang out with when there's nobody around. It's just us. And those are the people I sort of gravitate to in this business, are people who, you know, and Martin Short obviously is like that. There's so many people like that who you go and meet with them. And yes, you can have a serious conversation, but they can also have you crying. They have you laughing so hard. And that's, I don't know, that's sort of neat when you're, I think we're very lucky to get to live in that,
absolutely,
that world.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we've had a conversation akin to this at some point over the, you know, many dinners we've shared, but it is very, it's so lucky. And, you know, you always hear about Holly Weird and how everybody's crazy and so eccentric and weird. And it's just, I think it's kind of, you know, like attracts like. So if you're not like that, then it's quite possible to gather around you a big contingent of people who are really cool and normal and just, you know, smart and funny. And I think Nick and I feel lucky in that regard. And you and Liza are really at the top of the list for us.
Well,
have been for many years.
It's over with Liza.
Shoot. Okay, great.
Yeah, that ended this morning.
Okay, good night.
The timing of this
What happened this morning?
You had a good run.
We were very much in love and a committed couple until about 4 hours ago. So yeah, I don't even really know what we argued. It was something involving the Netflix queue, and I just snapped and said,
"Oh yeah,"
and said, okay, "We're done."
That tears it.
You know what? I keep thinking that so many things in life or patterns in life were revealed in high school. So I know that for me, high school was, you show up, I went to this big public high school, you show up, you don't know anybody, and then, you know, for it takes a while, but over time you start to find your group, you know? And then by the time I got to junior year, I had like a pretty good little squad. It wasn't huge, but they were people that kind of had my sense of humor, who liked the things that I liked, and that's how I got through high school. And I think that keeps happening in life. Then I went to college and the same thing happened. Then I got into show business and the same thing happened. Like, over time you find, it's like, it's what you said, like finds like. We just find our people that and occasionally I'll hear about some sort of insane gathering of, you know, celebrities, and I'll think, yeah, I would never belong that thing. Like, I'm glad I wasn't there. And not that it sounds bad, it just sounds like, oh no, I my little group wouldn't be at that thing, you know? So yeah. I'm talking about the Oscars.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is nerve-wracking. Too many glittering celebrities in one place is really something I try to avoid.
I don't know what to write. I don't know what you guys put down. When you're landing in a foreign country and they want you to fill out that piece of paper that has, you know, your flight number and all that on it, but then it has a line for occupation.
Right.
What do you write?
That's a tricky one.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Because, mm-hmm, you know, my dad can say physician and my mom could say lawyer, and my brothers could say lawyer. And for me, I always think this so many times, I'll start to write like talk show host, and I'll think, I don't really think I am a talk show host. And then occasionally I've started to write entertainer.
You could say writer.
That's true. That's true. But I always feel like that might be somehow deceptive. Like, wait a minute, I've seen you, you know, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it says here you're a writer. Come
well,
with us.
I mean, nobody's more recognizable than you, Conan. I mean, you're 7 feet tall and you've got the hair and 8 feet tall.
Yeah, I am.
The freckles, the hair.
Yeah, I've had people recognize me when I was behind, like, wearing a bicycle helmet in a car with tinted windows. And people have said, look, it's Conan in a tinted windowed car with a bicycle helmet.
I have two tips for this circumstance, but it requires growing a beard.
Okay, I could do that if I'm given the ample time. If I can grow a beard.
If you have a beard, then I write as occupation Messiah. And the thing is, they might not fully believe it, but who's going to question it?
No, they have no right to question
because
you.
Because what if they're wrong?
Yeah, I think they have no right to question you.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
And the other thing is the one time that I've had any trouble crossing the borders of a country was in Lisbon. We were on a vacation, and we were shooting Parks and Recreation in London. So I had to on some sort of production schedule. There was a bit of a spaz where I had to get to London quickly, and I had this unexpected. I had to pass through customs in Lisbon. And the guy stopped me and was really giving me a look over. And I was feeling pretty nervous because it usually doesn't happen to me. And he said in broken English, I've seen you on Conan O'Brien.
Oh my God, no.
He knew me from like. Yeah.
Is that true?
From Conan O'Brien bits, yeah.
That's funny.
That's funny. I'm going to start writing sex worker.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like they'll be embarrassed to question me too much.
Or you might be detained.
That's true.
Yeah.
Somebody might need a little work.
Yeah. prove it that you are this sex worker.
Fix this.
That's. Yeah. I'm going to start putting sex worker down just to see what happens. And then I'll say how, because if they question me, I can say what?
How dare
you? You don't think a 56-year-old man that looks like me can be a sex worker? Why, that's offensive. And I'll call my barrister, which I've never said before in my life. I've never called my barrister. I don't know. I find that to be like when someone, the times that I've written down entertainer on a form, I've thought, well, wait a minute. It comes and goes. Like, I'm not, sounds like such a phony thing to say, I'm an entertainer. I can entertain, I mean, like a plumber knows how to fix the pipes, but an entertainer is occasionally entertaining, in my opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You might not have to worry about that one for a little while. So we have time to think about it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I
because we can't fly around the world.
I wanted to stop the laughter.
Now, some years ago, I wrote a book called Gumption, and it profiled 21 Americans, men and women, that I find inspiring and heroic, sort of across history, starting with George Washington.
You should have asked Conan to be one of the people.
Well, honey, starting with George Washington.
I didn't read it. So was he in it?
With Conan O'Brien was the final chapter.
Oh, well then maybe I should read that because I love Conan.
Yeah, that was an incredibly, I mean, I almost didn't know how to respond because it was really lovely that you're a very good writer and you had these great arguments for why these different people in history had gumption. And then you included me and I was... just blown away by that and also like a little embarrassed. Like I couldn't be in the same book as George Washington. George Washington Carver, yes. But not George Washington. So I was
My intuition was proven sound because we had a wonderful, funny and enlightening interview and conversation for my chapter. And but the thing is, and the reason I loved having you as the final chapter in the book is, I asked you just and this is, you know, when things were much more rosy in this country.
Yeah.
Yep. But I said, you know, how do you feel about where we're going? You know, we're both getting into a generation that might be considered, you know, the beginnings of curmudgeonly, and the type that would shake our fist and say, these damn kids these days.
Right.
And you answered with a wonderful sense of wisdom where you said, you know, if you just take a step back from history and look behind us, anybody who says everything's going to shit right now, well, if you look back, it's always been shit, and it's been even shittier the farther you go back. And I found that really inspiring. And so
I know you wouldn't think that would be inspiring, but I do.
Well, I wanted to ask you, so then with that, yeah, from that point of view, given, you know, the sort of mess that the world is in right now, please cheer us up in a similar way.
Well, I don't know if this is going to cheer people up, but I'm reading, there's this series of books right now about Thomas Cromwell that's really famous, series of books, and
I've heard those are great.
Oh, yeah, and the first one is Wolf Hall. And
we were going to listen to those on Audible while we do puzzles.
They're really good. The worst one is Wolf Hall, and I'd rattle off the author's name, but I'm, you know, so high right now.
Hillary Mantel, I think.
That's it, yes. And so she's written these amazing books. But so I'm reading the first one, Wolf Hall, and I just randomly had this on my stack to read. And I happened to be reading it starting at last week during this lockdown. And the book takes place in the 1500s and with Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn and all those characters. And it's based pretty much on history. And what happens as I'm reading the book, they keep having to send their children out of London because a sickness, a mysterious sweating sickness, descends on London, you know, in 1530. And they have to send the kids out. And then one summer they decide, oh, let's not send them out. And they he loses his daughters and his wife. And what you realize is that all of mankind's history is the history of pandemics back and forth. I mean, this used to be all the time, and people didn't know what it was. You know what I mean? And so this is just, we just had a 100-year break from it. I'm not saying that to cheer. I don't know that cheers people up, but this is, in a way, we got a little spoiled, I think, that we got away from this, and we got away from the idea that a virus can just show up and wreak havoc on our lives and kill a lot of people. And then compared to lots of things like, this virus is terrible, and they think it has about a 1% mortality rate, and I think smallpox had a 30% mortality rate, which we eradicated. So there are many worse things, too. And so I don't know. I think when you read, I think the point I was trying to make to you, Nick, was that when you read a lot of history, and even if you've just gone and seen the play, you know, people sometimes put our founding fathers on a platform and say, ah, the founding fathers, they were great, and every politician since then has been shit. But one of the things I thought was so great about the musical Hamilton is that it showed you just how touch and go the whole thing was and how many flawed characters there were, and it did it in such a beautiful way that you walked out of there thinking, oh my God, the founding fathers barely had it together. Do you know what I mean? So we are where we've always been is maybe my... For a guy who can't meditate, that might be my Zen philosophy, which is we've always been struggling in the mud to better ourselves and to hope that our, you know, our kids or a younger generation will have a better time than we did. But who knows? I think that's and older generations have always thought that younger generations don't have the right values.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season. Where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door. Where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So not only are we all friends and double date friends, I guess, is the best way to describe it, but your wife and I share our day of nativity. Isn't that, I think that's weird.
You think that's strange that you have the same birthday?
Kind of.
I don't. That's why I married her.
Because she was a lot like me?
Well, because
but you didn't know me when you met her.
I knew of you.
Okay, well then it all makes sense.
Conan and I belong and to I knew a secret society, part of which requires us to marry 11, 12 women. November 12th.
Yeah. When I joined, I thought that was a sexy measurement. Yeah. And then I found out. She's an 11, 12.
That's from the knee to the calf, 11, 12.
Hell yeah.
Remember those days? There was a time, I think, in the 50s. It was the 1950s where if you watch a sitcom or a rom-com from those days, they would talk about women. They'd be like, yeah, she's a 32. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
She's
like 34, 24, 34.
Yeah. And one of them was like 24, 36. It's on Gilligan's Island a lot. They're always, they're like, for example, Ginger will say something. The professor will say something like, why, 15, 35, 62 are the exact coordinates for our position. And Ginger will say, the only coordinates I know are, 24, 36, 24, whatever. And that was a big joke at the time, which is knowing your measurements and guys knowing measurements. And I've always thought, I just have that sort of like, as a kid, watching that and thinking, I guess that's something I'll know about when I'm older, and that just completely went away. I've never been like, wow, whatever. I don't even know what the numbers are.
It's bust, waist, and hips. So it would be like 34, 24, 34. So you have an hourglass.
Right. Right.
Like a very small hourglass.
Those
though,
particular
24
measurements,
is small.
Would those be aided by a corset?
No, not those. Of course, it would be more like if your waist were, 19 or something inhuman.
Like Adam Scott.
Like Adam Scott.
That's true.
He has an incredible waist.
No, it's amazing. I put my whole hand around his waist.
Yeah.
And my thumb touched my fingertips. No, I could actually get all the way around.
His waist is like a motorcycle hand grip.
It's called a wasp waist. I believe.
And he's an incredible, just a shout out for Adam Scott. He's a lovely fellow.
Oh, yeah. And his wife, Naomi, they're two of the other super coolio couples.
My family and I were skiing on a ski holiday over Christmas when we were invited to a small gathering that Greg Daniels, Office and Parks and Rec guy, he was throwing a party, and we went over, and it really was just Greg's family, Adam and his wife, and my crew. So I got to hang out with him, and he was fantastic. He was just great. Just great hanging out with him.
He's
really
so funny. God.
That's our next triple date. That's going to be the next triple.
That'd be a nice triple date. And I remember about that gathering is that Greg always likes to get creative. He doesn't want to just put out the same fare that another person would put out. He wants to do something creative. So he said, I'm going to serve mulled wine. And so he took a bottle, like two bottles of red wine and cooked them on a stove. And I think maybe put some cinnamon in there or something and served it like we were Vikings. And I didn't hate it, but I also would have been fine with a glass of wine.
Just unmulled wine.
Yeah, and I don't even think that was mulled wine what he did. I'm not sure. I think he made some kind of Viking medicine.
He made warmed wine.
Need to issue a formal apology on the podcast for the last time you guys came over for dinner and we ordered food from that place and it was ice cold and we for some reason didn't feel that it was necessary to warm it up and it was not cool. So I really feel
you guys
bad. It was
stayed
like a really fancy pizza place called Pizzana. And we ordered not only pizza, but everything else on the menu. And it was all cold and gross. And you guys stayed and ate it and pretended like it was fine.
Well, here's the part where I have to admit that the way I grew up, that's how we ate everything.
Yeah, just, me too.
I'm one of six kids, and we were just, you know, when we were kids, they would throw food into the room, and it was literally like dogs attacking a ham. And so I was perfectly fine.
Apologize to Liza because she probably cares, but
she
none of us do. But
she knows she. We're all here's pigs. The thing: Liza would understand that our comportment as host and hostess
was
shameful.
She's like a classy person. But we're just
she's
gross
a classy broad
idiots.
But it's a testament to, I think, to the comfort of our friendship that we were having such a good time that it didn't matter. We weren't
it didn't matter
for the quality of the resplendent meal.
I just felt bad though because we invited you guys over for dinner and it was so bad.
You now are on the books for a properly crafted Offerman meal.
Yeah, Nick's a good cook.
And I'll try to set the record straight.
Yeah, that would be nice. Now I'm regretting that I didn't lose my shit when...
You should have. That
because
was
I remembered
your
us
chance.
Having... We had a really good time and we talked, I think, for quite a long time and it was really great. I have fond memories of that evening, but I hate to miss an opportunity to lose my shit.
You could have said,
"How dare
you?" And
that would have been a great chance for me to...
You could have excused yourself from the table for too long and either pretended to have been sick or you could have pretended to have been weeping. Uh-huh. You could have done a lot of things.
You know what I think the way to handle it would have been? We each get our slice of pizza. We sit down. I bite into mine. I think right around the same second that you guys notice, it's a little cold, this pizza, but let's forge ahead. I take one bite. I remove the pizza without really chewing it, put it down. I excuse myself when I leave the room. I'm gone for a while, and then Liza's phone rings. And Liza says, I have to go. And you look out and you see that I'm sitting in the passenger seat of our car.
It's
running.
Yeah, passenger seat and it's
driving.
It's running. And she just says, I have to go and looks very nervous and upset and gets in the car. And we never talk about it again. That's what I should have done. Because that would be so much creepier than me throwing a fit.
Oh my God, that's so good. Well, speaking of you having to depart, you actually do have to flee because you're working on other things.
We're still making, like a bunch of the hosts, we're making shows during this time. And so I make them from home using an iPhone or Zoom technology. And I've been doing some Zoom interviews with people. And I'm going to... do one with Mr. Nick Kroll, of Nick Kroll fame.
The talented and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The talented and beautiful Nick Kroll. So I'll be talking to him And also, I think I'll just steal the audio from this and have an artist do renderings of you guys, and we'll just put that on the show as well.
Okay. So,
and this will air
before. That would be nice.
And against all etiquette, this will air before you get a chance to air this as your podcast. Hey, and then
it's the Wild West now.
Yeah, exactly.
And your podcast is, you know, off the charts.
Well, you guys were lovely. You were one of the first people to do it. You came in and did it, and people loved that episode. It got it was great confessional about your erotic adventures.
Well, you've had much more illustrious guests on the podcast since we were.
I don't think that's true.
We chummed the waters.
Well, thanks for doing this, Conan.
Are you kidding? Yeah, you're two of my favorite people, and I really love talking to you, and you have you just have such lovely spirits, and such you're just a joy to hang out with. So this was just an opportunity, much like my career, to do what I'd be doing anyway, or what I'd hope to be doing, which is hanging out with you guys. So thank you.
Well, we are nothing short of idolized in our household, so we love you. We love Liza. Tell her hi.
If I sent you a painting of me, a large one, would you hang it?
Of course.
No, it's really big.
Not.
We will.
We do love you.
It's equestrian. I'm on a horse.
It's equestrian. You. You have a riding crop. Are you side saddle?
Yeah, I'm side saddle.
Okay, in that
very,
case, I would definitely.
A very short. I'm wearing a very short skirt.
A kilt. A short kilt.
Well, this was lovely. I really liked talking with you guys. Thank you for having me, and let's do it again.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Another installment of your favorite podcast, In Bed with Nick and Megan. Good night. Guess you might call me
a Pollyanna. In Bed with Nick and Megan is an Earwolf production. It's produced by Megan Mullally, Kevin Bartelt, and Michael Landry. Executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon. Music by Nancy and Beth, which can be found at www.nancyandbeth.com. If you enjoyed In Bed with Nick and Megan, make sure to rate it and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.